Soccer, local soccer. When is it returning to the big screen or the small screen or whichever screen you choose to enjoy it? Vuyani Joni is the editor of Soccer La Duma, joins me on the line now. Molo Budin, welcome back.
Good morning to you, Africa, and the listeners.
PSL has quite rightly denied any requests for interviews because they clearly haven't come to any decision as yet as to when PSL is going to resume in this country.
I think PSL are doing a good job because to try and control communication, you've got to be firm with your standpoint, unlike what we've seen happening where one part said it's safe to go back and play, we must consider playing behind closed doors, and then another part saying, no, we cannot risk people's lives, so let everything stand still. So it's very important to have a standpoint and communicate that perfectly without causing any confusion. So the fact that they've not reached an agreement and therefore refusing to divulge any information, to me, I'd rather deal with that rather than speculation and have one group saying one thing and then another saying something completely different, because it's causing panic and unnecessary confusion to the rest of the community.
Do you have any insight as to what those points of contention are within PSL and SAFA, I imagine, would need to be brought into that conversation?
Well, there's been reports, there's been rumors, and one of those was that there's a proposal that's been placed where all games would take place in one venue, and more like what we've seen with MDC, where we'll have different games played over a period of time. But then even that, there's been no agreement from what I hear. So at the moment, it's just hearsay, and then we don't really know what's really happening, because there's a lot of talk about possibly going to Sun City and have all teams camping there and then sort of quarantined there and then playing. But again, it's all speculation, because remember, for teams to play, for everything to go back to normal Africa, it's not gonna be a month process, because teams will need time to train as a group. Because at the moment, the players are training individually, and it's going to take a while for them to get back to an acceptable level of fitness and all that, because football is a group sport, unlike tennis, unlike golf. So there has to be enough time for them to prepare to get back. But based on what has been happening, I think most of the teams are almost there, almost ready to start group sessions, but at the moment that they have not been given that right.
I was chatting to John Dobson yesterday. He's the coach of both Western Province and the Stormers, and he was reflecting that for every week that the players are not training or playing a game, they will need at least a week of training. And at the moment, I mean, they've been away for 7 weeks, right? Which means they'll need to be 7 weeks of training before they are at any level of fitness that will be ready for competition.
That is so true, Africa, because again, you must remember that the group sessions, that's when the coach or management can actually have a look and ensure that everyone is pulling their weight. Because when people are training remotely, it's one thing to post a video there of a 2-minute session and then that's it. And then you think everyone is actually following the rules, but you can't enforce that virtually. It's got to be physically there. That's why it's important for these teams to have enough group sessions before they can go and play. So it's completely understandable what the coach said, because the more time they spend with the players, the better they get to understand. They can even see and monitor their progress. So it's difficult. That's why I'm saying they will need enough time for group sessions before they can even think of going to play, which is, I mean, at the moment, time is not something that we have, because we would have finished this season by now and looking at players getting off-season and then starting to prepare for pre-season, which now overlaps to the following season. And that's another thing that needs to be taken into consideration.
I think there were about 7 or 8 matches left for majority of the clubs before the conclusion of the Premiership.
Yeah.
Unlike the English Premiership, where Liverpool is only two matches away from sealing victory and is most likely going to be the winner of this season, and it would therefore make sense, should the Premiership not decide to resume any matches, to then, it should only be fair for them to award it to Liverpool. Not so the case in South Africa. Kaizer Chiefs is leading the log. They are on 48 points, but they have a game over Mamelodi Sundowns, who's on 44 points. And who knows what will happen over the remaining matches that those two teams are involved in, or even SuperSport United for that matter, and Orlando Pirates. They are on 40 points each. That could change the direction of this log table, that could result in another team winning and not Kaizer Chiefs. So we will, if we don't get any opportunity to play within a reasonable amount of time to conclude this this premiership, we will just need to call this null and void, won't we?
I think that would be the, I don't want to call it the easiest route to Africa, but the more logical. But then again, what do you say to teams in the NFT, your IS Cape Town, for instance, who have been doing so well, and they are just a few games away from securing a place in the Premiership? What do you say to Swallows FC? So there is a lot that needs to be taken into consideration. Because, for instance, if you look at Belgium, it was easy for them to decide to give Club Brugge the title, because they were 15 points away from the second place team with just one game to go. So in that case, it's easy even to decide the relegation, because you just say, okay, let all 16 teams, for instance, get 3 points. So if you played, you would have played for 3 points. Okay, we're going to give you the 3 points that you'd have played for. And then not much would change in that log standings. But the same cannot be said about the South African story, because you've got the top eight that needs to be decided. You've got the relegation that needs to be decided. And you cannot relegate the Black Leopards or AmaZulu without giving them 30 games to play, which is exactly the way it's supposed to be. So now, what do you base their relegation on? So that means there'll be a lot of legal issues that would then crop up, and that would delay even the start of the following season. So there is a lot, and I think that is exactly why the league has decided to keep quiet until they've reached a decisive conclusion, so that they can communicate that with the rest of us.
And we'll all be eagerly awaiting. Good news, I suppose, for Mamelodi Sundowns, that their coach Pitso Motsamane has extended his contract for another 4 years.
It's brilliant news, and not just for Sundowns, but for South African football, Africa, because this now challenges other teams to look for stability, because this chopping and changing of coaching does not really help South African football at all, because the players get used to this coach, and then the next thing, there's another coach, and before you know it, that one vacates the post, and then on to the next one. I mean, look at Orlando Pirates, for instance, just this season. They've had three coaches, and if you look at Pirates the season before this one, last season, they looked like real title contenders, and they lost it right at the end. And you'd think going into this season there would be more stability, and they would be challenging for honors this season, but they've not won anything. In fact, they have not come close to winning anything. So that means their season has been disrupted by the constant changing of coaches. I mean, three coaches in one season, that's not good for any club and for consistency, because the players now get confused, and then it affects their performances.
And sadly, Vuyani, on a last point, I suppose, we continue to read and hear about wars and factions within the fraternity of soccer in this country. This time around, it seems that
Dennis Mumble.
He's got some beef with SAFA President Danny Yordan, who's been accused of being an autocratic leader, who's a bully, who only listens to himself and will not seek counsel to the team that he's assembled around himself.
That is very sad, Africa, because now that's a problem within the association. We just a few weeks ago, there was a beef between the PSL and SAFA. So can you see now what's happening? Because instead of us now focusing on the bigger problem that we are faced with. People are spending a lot of time now getting distracted from the main problem, which is COVID-19, which needs a serious solution. But now we get distracted, and these things are affecting the morale, because the national team at the end of the day is going to suffer. And when the national team suffers, then it's the local football that will suffer. So these things need to be taken, need to be sorted out. And I think for this one, because it's an association problem, it will be very, very important for government to get involved, because at the end of the day, SAFA represents the government, even though FIFA is completely against their interference. But this wouldn't be interference if they try to sort to get SAFA's house in order.
Vuyani, thank you very much as always for your insights. Vuyani Joni is the editor of Sokala Duma. You are always most welcome to go to sokaladuma.co.za to read up the latest on not only local but international football as well.